Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, February 14th, and it is time for Creation Club. Joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Warren Wirth. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. To you as well.
Thanks.
What's on the plate today for Creation Club?
Well, we've got several things. One is, let's begin by having a little follow-up on the debate from February 4th. If our listeners saw the debate either live or watched it on debatelive.org since then, they may have had questions that came up in their minds about things that Bill Nye, the believer in evolution, alleged when he was debating Ken Ham, a believer in creation, on this whole topic of origins. And the structure of the debate was such that there wasn't time or opportunity for Ken Ham to answer every single allegation or suggestion that Bill Nye brought up. But after the debate, you know, there's plenty of time now to kind of go back and review all of that. And if you go to the website, answersingenesis.org, on their webpage, they have a section debunking the arguments of Bill Nye. And there's a long list of the things that were brought up and links then to many, many articles that are available at answersingenesis.org on all of these topics, all kinds of things that Bill Nye brought up, from questions about Noah's Ark and the flood, about the Big Bang, and even, you know, when he brought up things like ice cores and fossils. You know, I remember one thing in particular was that he had shown a slide that was supposed to represent finding missing links, and it looked like, you know, the chain is virtually unbroken from the single-celled organism all the way up to man, but there's just a few little missing links there, which we're filling in as we find these fossils. And one that he filled in for us was how we went from sea-dwelling creatures to four-footed land-dwelling creatures. And of course, he filled in the blank with Tiktaalik, which we had talked about just a few weeks ago, using materials from Answers in Genesis, and how they thoroughly showed that that fossil does not at all show a transitional form from sea-dwelling to land-dwelling, that it is simply a kind of lobe-finned fish, such as the coelacanth and the lungfish, which are still around today. They're in the fossil record, and people thought that they were things that would transition into land-dwelling animals, but they're still around, reproducing after their own kind. They still live in the water. They do not have legs, and neither did the fossil have legs, even though the articles about it suggested that it had legs. When you actually looked at the real fossil evidence, you know, it's a fish, it doesn't have legs, and it's not transitioning into anything other than fish. And so that's just one example. There are many, many others. So those who are interested in this, particularly if you're continuing the conversation with family members or friends or people in your congregation or people at work or people at your school who may have doubts about creation and who may think that maybe Bill Nye makes a lot of sense and maybe evolution is a better explanation, and help them to find these articles and read them through. And I think that'll help people realize that evolution doesn't have a leg to stand on, either theologically or scientifically. And so we thank God for the help that we have from Answers in Genesis and the people there and the Creation Museum and all the wonderful exhibits there and the resources that are available to average people like us so that we can understand these issues and communicate them to our family and friends.
Now, did you observe Darwin Day this week?
I noticed that it was Darwin's birthday. I didn't observe it as in celebrating it, but I did call it to the attention of my midweek students. The day we had midweek, and we talked about that just briefly. We had other more important things to talk about, but I wanted them to realize that it was not only the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, but also the birthday of Charles Darwin, which unfortunately there are churches that actually do celebrate this. In fact, when it falls in the middle of the week, they may celebrate it on a Sunday and maybe even preach on the fact that there's no conflict between science and the Bible, and what they mean is evolution and the Bible, and so we should believe in millions and billions of years, and then we can just add God on at the tail end and say, but God did it. So it was evolution, and Darwin was right, but God did it, and then we think that everything is hunky-dory. And how sad that is. And in the break, if our listeners were listening during the break just before Creation Club came on, you know, Ken Ham was saying something that he said many times before, how sad it is that churches compromise the truth of God's Word for man's fallible ideas and make a saint out of this man, Charles Darwin, who was not a Bible-believing Christian, and, you know, who undermined the faith of so many people and is still doing so as people think that there's an explanation for where we came from apart from what the Bible says. And so if they are inclined not to believe what the Bible says about creation or Adam and Eve or a literal fall into sin, you know, it eventually can and often does make people quit believing also in what it says about our Savior, who is the last Adam, who was promised to come and rescue us from sin and death that was brought upon us when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and fell into sin. So, you know, I think, and again, how ironic it is that Charles Darwin is buried at Westminster Abbey. You know, a man who did so much to harm Christianity and people's faith and their confidence in the Bible and what the Bible tells us about our Savior, and yet he's buried in Westminster Abbey, sort of like some great hero. And that's really sad. And sadder still that there are so many churches and schools and colleges and universities and seminaries that too often act as though Darwin is right, and therefore you have to readjust your reading of the Bible to fit Darwin, rather than saying the Bible is right, and you need to re-examine science in view of what the Bible says, and you'll realize that Darwin was not right and that real, observable scientific facts are perfectly compatible with the Bible, do not in any way undermine your faith in the Bible, but the fairy tale of evolution isn't really science and isn't really observable.
Speaking of Darwin, I see that there's a documentary coming up soon.
There is. HBO has a documentary called Questioning Darwin, and part of it was actually filmed at the Creation Museum. And what this documentary does, it contrasts the views of Charles Darwin and his Molecules to Man evolution with those of Christians who accept the Bible's account of creation. And if you go to answersingenesis.org, there is a review of that HBO documentary. I personally have not seen it. Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell of Answers in Genesis reviews it in the article that you can find online there at answersingenesis.org. But maybe I can summarize the points that she makes, and maybe that would be helpful to any of our listeners who may have HBO and may have the opportunity to watch this. Basically, the documentary brings out that Darwin had a couple of reasons that he gave to justify his idea that things evolved over time from simpler forms of life to more complex forms of life. And the two things were he saw that diversity in nature, and he also saw suffering and death. And these two things were used by him to be reasons why it was hard for him to accept what the Bible was saying, and he came up with his own ideas about origins and how living things and all their diversity and complexity arose. Now, you know, everybody's familiar, every school child is familiar with his trip on the HMS Beagle and the various plants and animals that he saw on his trip around the world, especially at the Galapagos Islands. And what people often don't realize is what Darwin observed in the present in terms of variation within created kinds, for example, of the finches that are famous, he then extrapolated, believing that, you know, if you had enough time and go in the distant past, then all forms of life could arise from a simple form of life. And in this, you see, that is not science. We've gone from what is observable, variation within created kinds, to what is not observable and not observed, that is, something going from one kind of creature to another kind of creature. And also this idea of natural selection. Natural selection is not an information-creating engine for evolution. Really, natural selection is just variation of rate of reproduction and survivability of organisms that already exist, and certain traits may be more favorable in a certain in an environment, and so those creatures, those organisms that have the right features for that environment will more likely survive and reproduce, and those that can't compete will maybe die out. And yet, that's all still variation within a kind. It doesn't add any information to the gene pool. You're only dealing with the amount of information that's already within the gene pool and varying what variations of those and combinations of those genes get expressed and survive for reproductive purposes. It's not able to add information to the genetic code so that when you didn't have eyes, now you have eyes. When you didn't have wings, now you have wings. When you didn't have lungs, now you have lungs. You see, that kind of thing is impossible. No one has ever observed that happening. No one knows a scientific way that you could add this information for these things. And yet Darwin believed in that, and people who follow Darwin believe it, even though there is not scientific evidence to support it. Indeed, all the scientific evidence is against that very thing. The other problem for Darwin was suffering and death in the world, and that was made very personal for him when his daughter Annie died. And as the documentary says, this kind of put the final nail in his Christian faith. He just couldn't accept the fact there could be a good, almighty, loving God when he could see suffering and death in the world. And it's tragic. You know, you feel sorry for anyone who loses a child and for anyone who goes through sickness and suffering and pain in this life and has to endure the death of loved ones. And yet, how sad it is that he didn't realize take to heart that the Bible tells us where suffering and death comes from. It's not that God is evil, but that we are evil, and that we transgressed his holy commands and brought sin and death and suffering upon ourselves by our disobeying God. And so there's an explanation for sin and sickness and death in this world and suffering, and it's certainly tied in with everything the Bible says about creation, the fall into sin, and the aftermath, but also it points to the Savior. And that's something that, you know, how sad it is that he could struggle with sin and suffering and death and not find the answer, which is in Christ. Already in Genesis, God promised to send a Savior who would be the seed of the woman, who would crush the serpent's head, who would undo the damage that was brought into this world by Adam and Eve's disobedience and by their succumbing to the temptation of the devil. And, you know, Christ did come as God promised. In the fullness of time, he was born of the virgin. He is the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is true God and true man who took our sins upon himself when he went to Calvary's cross. He paid for them there. He rose in triumph on the third day. And now he lives and reigns to all eternity to give us forgiveness of sins, to be our strength and our stay in time of suffering and sickness and in the hour of our death. And he promises that as he rose from the dead, so we too shall rise when he comes again on the last day. This is the hope that has sustained millions of Christians, people who, like Darwin, endured trial and tribulation and sickness and the death of children and loved ones and struggle with that question of why, God, why is this happening? And yet when you turn to the Scriptures, you have an answer. As Ken Ham said in the debate again and again, there is a book. There is a book, and that book is God's Word, the Bible. And it is true from the very first verse onward. You know, all that God tells us about creation, the fall into sin, all of that is true, and it all ties together with what it tells us in God's Word tells us about Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the one who atoned for our sin, the one who gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. In him we have the promise of forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life of the world to come. And this is what sustains us in our time of trial. So, again, how sad it is that Darwin missed that. And as far as we know, he did not die a believer. Sometimes there are stories out there that he died having had a deathbed conversion. Mm-hmm. And people who have studied this carefully assure us that, no, there was no deathbed conversion. He died an unbeliever. And how sad that is. But our listeners don't have to have that same result. You know, we have the Word of God. By the grace of God, we can hear what God says, take to heart that message, and the Holy Spirit, working through that powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, sustains us in our faith, even through trials and tribulation, suffering, and the hour of our death, so that in Jesus we have that hope that the world cannot take away.
Amen. Pastor Wirth, always good to talk with you about these important topics in creation.
I enjoy doing it every week with you.
It's a blessing. We are out of time, and so thanks so much for being our guest as usual, and we'll talk to you next week.
We look forward to it. God bless you, and again, have a happy Valentine's Day, and enjoy the love of God in Christ.
Amen. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together for morning prayer right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.